Hi everybody, welcome to MJ13. This is the last episode of the season one, and then don't worry, we will have season two because we have a lot of more mind-blowing information from Exopolitics Hong Kong and from Exopolitics Worldwide. So that would be another season coming, but today is we're having Neil Glue, Mr. Neil Glue.
How are you?
From Exopolitics Hong Kong here. Welcome back.
Thanks, Chuk Fei. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Good, good.
Yeah, especially now I can more concentrate. Yeah, you use your headphone anyway. So this is the last episode of MJ13. Thank you for coming up. And actually, we did another interview yesterday, but that will be the last. This will be the first episode of season two. That is something, really something. I mean, that is really something.
That's going to blow your audience away.
Yeah.
Really, really blow your audience away.
Yeah. But before that, before you understand what we are talking next season, so we have to have this episode today here.
Correct, yes.
So, okay, what are we talking about?
Well, today we're going to talk about MyLab.
MyLab.
Yes, this is a very, very few people in the world would be qualified to discuss MyLab with you.
Well, let me introduce a little because a lot of people don't know what is MyLab is, and also a lot of people. Well, I'm pretty sure a lot of audience know alien abductions, which is a person, a human being, being abducted by the aliens with all these experiments and all that. So, MyLab, for some people, they could be the first time they hear these terms. MyLab, MyLab. What the hell is that?
Well, as I said, this is a very complicated subject. It is not something that anybody in the world can get up and talk about. So for me to tell you what is MyLab, I would have to go into a little bit of background first.
Yeah, go ahead.
And many people have seen Jim Sparks, and this has created a lot of questions.
Yeah, early this year.
Yes, and I have done so many email answers to people, but still, people need to understand clearly the background about MyLab, military abduction. MyLab is short for military abduction. So,
military abduction.
Correct. When we say military abduction, we are talking about secret groups, covert groups within the military. You see, what people don't understand about the military and the intelligence services is that everything is compartmentalized.
Explain what is compartmentalized.
For example, you go into a building in Hong Kong. You see maybe 100 letterbox.
That's right.
Think of the military and all the activity going on in a secret level in Area 51, S4, Nellis, Dulles, many, many compartments. Each compartment does not know what the other compartment is doing.
So you're saying, simply say, you're saying there are many different parts or many, different groups.
Many.
Even in one, like Area 51, they have many different groups.
Many.
People.
So the people in the one group do not know what the other group is doing. And above, say, two groups, you have one guy that knows what two groups are doing. And then above him, you have another guy that knows what 10 groups are doing. But when it gets to the top, there's still probably not one person that knows everything going on. Because in some compartments, you have groups having relations, diplomatic relations with extraterrestrials, while other groups are shooting them down, while other groups are retrieving UFO craft.
That's very simple to understand. It's like a big company.
It's very, but less controlled at the top. This is the point. It is extremely compartmentalized. And military abduction, the people involved in military abduction, MyLab, could be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 different groups in different compartments, all doing military abductions, with one side not knowing who the other side is.
There could be many different types of MyLab.
Well, for example, the military industrial complex. These are all the defense contractors and even the drug companies, really, that make for the U.S. military, make ammunition, weapons, technology, jets, aircraft, boats. They're all part of this big conglomerate, this big complex. Now, they have a lot of money because they pay a lot of money from the government.
Mm.
So they might want more research and development, more technology for their commercial reasons.
Right.
So because of their relationship with the military, they might fund the military and say, look, we can't do certain work here.
Right.
Or maybe we can. You help us. So go out and get us information, let's say, for example, on the psychology or the mental state of a human under certain stress, because we have new technology we want to bring out and we want to see how humans behave. Well, there's nothing to stop these powerful groups abducting humans and wiping out their memory so they can't remember and then putting them through very, very traumatic experiences and then get the data and then adapt their data for their technology on the one hand. On the other hand, you have military who know people are being abducted by different extraterrestrials. Remember, when we talk about the ETs and the military, the ETs here, the ETs there, there are many different kinds of ETs with many, many, many different agendas. So some parts of the military are interested when, for example, they abduct an abductee. Take, for example, Melinda Leslie. You can see my interview with her on YouTube. Your next week's guest, can I mention her name?
Next season's
guest, yes. can I mention her name? For example, MyLab abductee Niara Isley. You can even include Jim Sparks. And there are many people that have been abducted by the military under this military abduction, MyLab, because these groups want to know what these people have learned
from the aliens.
From the aliens. So for example, Jim Sparks is an abductee because he was abducted by aliens. Niara Isley was more of a contactee than an abductee, although technically she's an abductee
when she was young.
Yes, because they floated her out of her room and through the walls and everything. And Melinda Leslie also had contact experiences. So what these covert groups do is they back engineer these people. They take these people and subject them to, well, we'll talk about more what they suggest in the program.
So basically to learn what they learn.
It's basically to learn. So, but before we go into that, let me just, so that people have no doubt what the capability of certain governments are or certain secret groups. People don't realize that governments are horrific. Governments don't care about the people.
No, hang on. Before we go forward, because that is very important concept that we have, we should have. Otherwise, you will get really chaos when you go forward to the next level of information. So you're basically saying, even like Jim Sparks, he could have been abducted by a lot of different types of aliens, and then abducted by a different types of military abduction.
Yes.
By different departments or different letterbox, what you said.
Yes.
So it's really complicated situation.
Extremely, extremely complicated. There is nobody capable.
So one person who contacted with alien today, and he could have been abducted by military box number one.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Right.
And day after tomorrow, she could be abducted by the other MyLab.
It could be, and the bosses of the compartment number one might know about compartment number seven, who are good at getting other information, so and instructed number seven to go as well.
That's terrible.
This is the reality. I mean, your guests are going to be blown away when Niara talks next season, when she tells them.
Exactly.
They are going to be really, they'll understand the Sparks case much better, because it appears the Sparks case was far too advanced for anybody in Hong Kong, really, to understand. Perhaps we should have given them more background on MyLab. But we're doing it now, and that's the most important thing. Because, you know, who can stand up in Hong Kong and talk about MyLab? It's extremely, you're going to see the layers of complication.
Yeah.
By the time I'm finished this talk, you will understand it is too deep.
It is deep already.
It's extremely deep. So let's just quickly get back, if you don't mind, talking about what governments do. You know, many, many cases, governments have been exposed for doing terrible experiments on people. I mean, just recently, you know, the one in Puerto Rico when the American government admitted, again, it's not the government, but it's the secret government or it's the defense contractors or the drug companies.
Yes.
They got children in the 1930s or 40s and injected them with syphilis.
Yes, yes.
Now, I mean, think about it. These are governments we rely on killing children. Even when they do these nuclear tests and they clear out all these islands in the South Pacific,
right?
They bring the people back late and the people get sick because the radioactivity is there. But what these governments have been known to do in Canada and the USA, they've been known to do radiation experiments, mind and behavior control. Now, these particular experiments have been already exposed in the newspapers. Now,
mind control.
That's right. The Ministry of Defense has carried out a lot of secret radiation experiments on humans in the last 40 years. In 1994, the United States government admitted that it had conducted experiments on its own citizens using disadvantaged people, mentally retarded people, or people who are prisoners, or people of very, very low intelligence.
Right.
You know, this is terrible kind of stuff that's going on. And in many cases, these people don't have any memory of it.
They don't remember.
Some of them do, some of them don't. But who cares about these people? They're the low end of society. Nobody cares about this story.
Exactly.
So a lot of the research done by the Department of Defense, the CIA, these kind of people, it was, as I say, got to do with radiation. They used even nerve gas.
Nerve gas.
They've been testing with LSD, you know, these different kinds of mind drugs.
Yeah.
Using biological agents. And it was recently disclosed that 23,000 Americans were involved in 1,400 projects during the last 30 years since the war.
That many Americans.
That's correct. And that just goes to show you what governments can do, right? Now, there's another group, the Committee for Human Experiment Survivors of Mind Control. They came across some survivors of some terrible experiments, you know, that involved electric shocks, drugs, brain implants, sensory deprivation. Imagine being blindfolded, ears blocked, your hands covered, and you put into a dark room, and you have water poured all over you, electric shocks, you don't know where you are. Sensory deprivation. It is used to break down your mind and cause the mind to bury certain things that you cannot remember them.
Those pain you're talking
about.
That's
what it does. It's trauma. They had people being locked in cages. People being forced to sleep. Can you imagine being forced to sleep?
Well, I can imagine that.
There's been sexual abuse, ritual abuse, you know, where they have terrible sexual things go on, and it's done to make the people break. This is what mind control, and this is done by government.
So basically, the mind control, this kind of mind control is actually giving you a lot of tortures.
Correct.
And try to make you block your memories.
Correct. So we can say, what is MyLab? Okay. What is MyLab? It is used for mind control experiments on people. It is also used for geopolitical purposes, nothing to do also with extraterrestrials. But what they do, for example, the head of the United Nations, and I spoke this in quite some depth with Dr. Greer, that Boutros Ghali, who was head of the United Nations, a saucer came outside his window, abducted him, and took him away, and then put him back. Now, I don't know what was done to him or said to him, but those saucers were actually made by humans, completely crewed with human people, and on board were what they call programmed life forms, PLF. These look like aliens, but they are made partly from the biological and genetic material of real agents, real extraterrestrials, aliens that they have shot down. So while people complain, the ETs abduct us to take our genetic material, hello, we also take theirs in some terrible circumstances. And you can listen to the testimony on the Disclosure Project of Sergeant Clifford Stone, you know, and you can see from there. My lab is also about the back engineering of abductees. As I say, watch my tape, my film on YouTube with Melinda Leslie. They are compartments extremely interested what the extraterrestrials are exposing humans to. Because remember, there are many kinds of extraterrestrials.
Well, try to describe that. I mean, like, for example, what we knew about the alien abduction, sometimes they put the implants in the human's body. So are you saying that they try to back engineer, in the sense they try to pull out that implant and study it, or they try to see like Jim Spark? Jim Spark have learned a lot of knowledge or the language from yes. the aliens. So you are saying that my lab could be abduct them and then study what he learned.
That's right. Some abductees are of particular interest to certain departments in the military.
Mm.
People like Melinda Leslie, who was an abductee by aliens. She was taken on board a triangular craft, and she was taught to use thought activation with the mind to just drive that craft with the mind. Now, Niara is going to talk to you about this in season two. So the military have not really had a tremendous amount of success with thought activation in their black operations for some of their craft. So they're particularly keen to learn more about that. So Melinda was taken, and she went through some terrible traumatic experiences, which we'll come on to. And of course, you know, Jim had a very, very close relationship with extraterrestrials that were associated with military. But of course, the military did not keep to the bargain. So these ETs were not very, very happy with the military. And by these extraterrestrials associating themselves with Jim and trying to, you know, test Jim's abilities with thought activation, the military wanted to know more. So the military came in, took Jim, and we know the rest of the story, what they did to him. You know, they were very, very hard on him. But never forget one thing. Never forget that Jim is a is an abductee, a real abductee. Okay? He's not a contactee. Anybody who tells you he's a contactee is nonsense. He was taken against his will by the extraterrestrials. Okay? Taken against his will, but the military also came and took him.
Later on.
And we can discuss what we call the psychodynamics. Now, another thing I ask you not to forget. The Jim Spark story, you must remember, has been looked at by Harvard professor Dr. John Mack and his peer group. They've all read this. There are people, Bullard, Carpenter, all these people, Corbusier, very, very well-known psychologists and PhDs in this field. They're looking at contact from what we call a multidisciplinary process. What does that mean?
Multidisciplinary process.
Right. Now,
what exactly is that?
Okay, I'll explain. If you take, for example, the Jim Sparks case, and you look at it from the point of ufology, UFO people, they'll look at it and they say, well, I can't touch it, I can't kick it, I can't taste it, therefore, I can't see it.
Because there is no proof, not even have the marks.
That is why ufology has died. That's why. Because you can't do anything unless you can pick up something and hold it in your hand. The exopolitical point of view is you use a multidisciplinary process. So the first thing you do is you have to look at the disciplines, the sciences, the subjects that relate to this. Now, what subjects relate to this? The first thing we have to do, we look at the abductee. Sparks, Niara, Melinda Leslie, Kay Wilson, any of these people.
Still a lot of different cases.
A lot of different cases. You look at them, and the first thing you see is their mind. Something has happened to their mind. They get the best psychiatrists from the science discipline of psychiatry.
Right.
They get clinicians
in
psychology. They get psychologists. Because you're looking at the mind. You need to have different people with different abilities. They need to have physicists. They need to have astrobiologists.
Right.
You need to have experts in folklore, mythology. You need to have experts in paleoanthropology, the past of human civilization, like everything Zachariah Sitchin has spoken about, the Anunnaki. You know, you can still see the stones, the carvings of the rocks. You can read the what we call the cuneiform symbols to see what happened in those days, that extraterrestrials came here and they built up the civilization. You need to have people who are experts in DNA, RNA, people who understand the human genome. This is what Dr. John Mack did, Professor Harvard, Dr. John Mack did. He has the peer group. They have these interdisciplinary processes where you get all these scientists, professors from all the different disciplines looking at the case.
Mm.
You get it now?
Yeah.
So they can monitor not only the clinician talking to Sparks, they actually can monitor the clinician and Sparks, look at that circumstance, how the two of them are reacting with each other.
Mm.
So it's very layered and very complex. So by using all these different disciplines, they can come to a conclusion and look at the psychiatric evidence. Mm. We talk about the psychodynamics of contact. For example, what happened with each encounter with Sparks? Did he have any changes? Yes, he had a shift in consciousness every single time.
Mm.
You know, there was a marked change. His consciousness grew. You look, after he finished the experience, he went out and did what most of them do, is they go out and they meet people and they talk about this kind of thing. Mm. They talk about the experiences. You can see how Sparks reacted to the fact that there was no predominance by man over the universe. In other words, man was not top of the food chain.
Mm.
This is not something you talk about in my lab. This is something you talk about in contact cases.
Mm.
So they can verify. Also, the skeptics and the debunkers are saying, oh, you know, he's got, you know, his paralysis has got to do with something called sleep paralysis.
Mm, mm.
No. You look at the multidiscipline group, they have these psychiatrists, they say, this guy did not have sleep paralysis, because if you have sleep paralysis, you also have another kind of sickness, which is like a sleeping sickness, where some people can look at you and just fall asleep.
But he didn't.
He didn't have it.
Mm.
He didn't have it. So I'm only giving you a very small touch.
So basically you're saying that when John Mack proved that Jim Sparks' case is the real case, it's a real alien attacks case, is not based on what he just based on what he taught. We've based on a lot of proof by different group of
correct
professionals.
Correct. I mean, you just read what does John Mack say? He says here, Sparks' account of a decade of encounters with intelligent alien beings provides one of the richest and most detailed documentations in all abduction history.
Mm.
Mack is saying it is the greatest case in all abduction history. He's not saying my lab.
Mm.
He's saying abduction. Okay?
Right.
Because there was my lab as well.
Mm.
But he's looking, the most important thing here is the abduction. What survived from the abduction?
Mm.
We know to a great extent what Sparks says, which is, you know, is my lab induced, and we know which is alien induced, so we can see. So Mack goes on to say Sparks' memory is altogether conscious. In other words, he doesn't need any hypnosis. You see, because he doesn't need to have any buried memories taken out, which is typical of my lab as well, you know. This case, the aliens had made sure that a large part of Sparks' mind remained intact. And he goes through everything that he's seen about all the points that Sparks had seen. You know, for example, the extraction, the sperm extraction, the breeding program, the shape-shifting, thought activating. You know, much of this that Sparks talked about. And remember, Sparks didn't know anything about abductions and ETs and aliens when this all happened. Sparks is talking about stuff that happened before the MyLab thing got going.
Mm.
He's talking about stuff that people in the 50s and the 60s were experiencing.
Mm.
Even if you look back in history into the 30s and the 20s, Sparks was experiencing those things.
Mm.
So we know that the Sparks case is, you know, the analysis of the Sparks case, the way we look at it, is extremely accurate. From an exopolitical point of view, the psychodynamics are extremely accurate.
Mm.
The problem is the people listening to the case do not have the required understanding of what MyLab is and what abduction is, what is common to both and what is separate to both. And we are going to go through that today.
Mm. Okay. So basically, you just mentioned what you just mean is John Mack can prove that.
Mm.
I mean, whatever he said is not a dream,
okay?
Definitely not a dream. But the people start to question. So if Jim Sparks, for example, he experienced the alien abduction. He experienced my lab as well. So it's my labs involved into my lab.
It is mind control all the time, of course.
So how can we know whatever he said? I mean, it's also based on what John Mack said. Is, I mean, we can prove that whatever he said is not part of the mind control.
Well, we know that there was my lab because, well, we know as best we know that there's my lab involved in Sparks.
Mm.
But we're also going to come on to discuss the motives and everything for my lab. So all this will come out in the discussion. But yeah, what I would say with my labs is a lot of cases that there were more black helicopters after the 80s associated with my lab than before the 80s.
Why after 80s?
Well, I think because, first of all, you have to understand why my lab started. You see, in the 80s, there was a lot of money.
Mm.
A lot of money from the Star Wars initiative, from Star Wars, SDI, you know, Reagan and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of money, and many, many of these intelligence agencies were flush with money.
Mm.
So they had this money to invest in these programs to further technology.
Mm.
Human nature, you know, military. We want to further technology for our weapons and control.
Mm.
For people like you, me, and most of us in the world, you know, we want money to be invested for the well-being of everybody.
Right.
But unfortunately, there's a difference between what we want and what these elites and these you know, these globalists and military intelligence services want. They want control. Now, if you want to know more about the black helicopters and the cases of you know, Betty and Barney Hill, Debbie Jordan, Kathy Mitchell, Whitley Strieber, Leah Haley, Kay Wilson, Beth Collins, you name them, there are good books. One's called The Story of the Intruders. That's by Jordan, Debbie, and Mitchell.
Mm.
Published in New York 1994. You can listen to Whitley Strieber. Many people know him.
Mm.
He wrote a book called Breakthrough, The Next Step.
Mm.
It was also published in 1995. There's The Lost Key. It was published in 1993 by Haley Lear.
Mm.
Kay Wilson, she's incredible, really incredible lady.
Mm.
Published 1993. So there's a lot of stuff, but you see, the important point is that you must know that, and this is very important, please listen, the core of the UFO phenomenon, you can't explain it, you know, by being hallucinations.
Mm.
UFO abductions, you can't blame it all on hallucinations.
Mm.
We've just gone way past that with Dr. John Mack's processes and all the exopolitical researchers have, beyond all doubts, with our whistleblower testimony, we know ETs are here. We know ETs abduct.
Mm.
Okay, so it's got nothing to do totally with my lab. Some people are saying, "Oh, it's all my lab." No, it's not. Okay, now this is very interesting because there's another book written by David Pritchard and John Mack called Alien Discussions, also published in 1994. You can read that and you can learn more. So I'm giving you a lot of source reference material.
Yeah,
that is very reliable.
Well, I would definitely put this on the forum so people. Mm. If you want to see more, if you want to read, you can check out our forum and get this information and get the books.
Correct. Now, a lot of people make another big mistake. Mm. They say, oh, you know, all aliens are so spiritually evolved that they would never abduct you.
Mm.
You know, this is the biggest lot of rubbish, you know? Now, let me give you an example. Just imagine 200,000 years ago, there's a caveman living in a cave.
Yeah.
And I arrive from the future. I go back in time and I go to that cave. Do you think that caveman looks at me and he says, you're from the future. You must have solved all your spiritual problems. You've got no wars anymore. Everybody eats well. Everybody's happy. No. And we say, as above, so below. We are here at war. They are up there. They've got their problems too. So you must never for 1 minute think that, of course, they may be more spiritually evolved than we are and also more technologically advanced than we are. The question is, does the technology match the spirituality? That is the question up there. There are many extraterrestrials who are imperialists, just like the British colony. Britain owned many, many colonies. They were imperialists.
Right.
They controlled the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are extraterrestrial mentalities. There's an infinite amount of civilizations out there at all different levels. So we have to bear this in mind. Don't think all extraterrestrials are like from angels. A human point of view. Let me just talk from a human point of view. Mm. Don't think all extraterrestrials from a human point of view are kind and nice. Because they may very well be okay, but the way they behave because of their level of advancement may actually be terrible for us. For example,
so just like we study a crocodile.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we put a tag in it, and we put this in it, and we cut it here, and we measure the tail, we cut a bit of the scale off. We're concerned about the crocodile. Not the one crocodile, we're concerned about all the crocodile.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't for one minute ever think or listen to anybody who tells you all ETs are so spiritually advanced that they wouldn't do anything to, you know. you just can't think that way. That is really, really, really silly.
But it was just like the same thing. If you think in one big company, this company is mostly doing for charity, you don't expect all of them are nice people.
That's correct.
Right?
So this is just, you know, just one of these very important points that you have to take in mind, you know. So let's try and look at some of the processes that are used for differentiating, you know, MyLab and abduction. So typically when you have a MyLab situation, especially when they've picked up an abductee and they've taken the abductee to find out what's going on, normally you'll find dark unmarked helicopters flying overhead. And we'll come on just now or later on why these helicopters is never less than three. Okay? We'll come on to that. But why you have these helicopters flying over, why you have strange vans or buses outside. Now, what's important, before they come in to take the abductee, they'll disorientate the abductee. They'll use electromagnetic fields. They'll use drugs. They may come in military style, bash down the door, take you, and then make you sick, give you an injection. This is a typical human abduction.
Of course, okay? Yes.
This is a typical human abduction.
That's what they can do.
That's right. You know, basically, many of these MyLab victims talk about being taken and then given a syringe injection in the neck. This is very common. They report that they're examined by human doctors in square rooms.
Square rooms.
Not round rooms and not sterilely clean looking rooms, but square rooms.
Why is this so important? You have to highlight this scare room.
Because when you're taken by extraterrestrials, you're normally taken into circle room in the disc, in the saucer. Or the rooms are not square. It may not be a round extraterrestrial vehicle, but from the information gathered, we can say that nobody's talked about square rooms. They always seem to talk about curved rooms, or maybe oblong, or maybe oval, but certainly
doesn't have the angle.
No.
Okay.
They also, in my labs, describe the rooms, you know, basically their rooms, their halls, their corridors. There's furniture similar to our hospitals. There's laboratories, but nothing to do with UFO furniture. Nothing to do with the UFO scenery around. They also talk about the victims, and MyLab victims, not necessarily paralyzed in the same way as when you are with an extraterrestrial abduction, where the mind basically controls the neurological behavior, the paralysis. Normally, these people are abducted in MyLab and they're tied to an examination table, or what we call, if it's a lady, on a gynecological chair, like the doctor does when they're looking at babies inside you and everything, and they open your legs. With the MyLab, the abductee gets a strong drink before the examination, you know, and doctors are dressed in white lab coats. Sometimes you'll see this extraterrestrial walking around in the MyLab.
So those are the type of MyLab that's human.
Well, a human
with alien.
But now nobody can know for sure whether the alien is an alien.
What do you mean?
Well, we take their genetic material, remember. They take ours. There are covert groups in the military that have taken genetically material and they've learned how to grow a being. A being made of biological material that obeys commands. And they use these creatures to confuse the victim so that the victim can always blame the extraterrestrials. That's what they want sometimes, these MyLab people. And say, oh, yeah, no, it wasn't us, you know, it was these bad aliens. That happens. That actually happens.
So, but no, hang on. So you're saying that the aliens is a real aliens, but
sometimes there could be. See, we can't know for sure in every single MyLab abduction case, but we do know that there are extraterrestrials working
with MyLabs,
working with the military.
Military.
Yeah, but if you look at the Dr. Wolf material, you never really hear about anything where these ETs are doing, you know, associating with people, hurting people.
Mm.
You know, I can't say for sure it doesn't happen.
Mm.
Perhaps it does. But in many cases, these are programmed life forms in the MyLab.
Okay.
Also, people in MyLab, many women, and you'll hear Niara talk about this, you know, they're sexually abused, raped.
Yeah.
It's all part of a process of breaking down the human, giving them physical torture, electric shocks, sleep deprivation. Rape for a woman is terrible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Imagine what it does. It's like Niara's memories. Many were buried. She had to go to the hypnotist. I don't want to talk too much about it because she's going to tell you firsthand. She's going to blow you away with this information. That, you know, these things are buried in the brain. Now, remember, Sparks had everything in his mind. Nothing was buried. So even though the military had done things to him,
Sparks doesn't need any hypnotized process.
There was a limit to what those beings, you know, what the MyLab did to Sparks, because I think those beings, extraterrestrials, really had an agenda, a true agenda, the message to humanity, which Sparks gave and people didn't understand it, was that he tried to tell everybody what is happening. He tried to tell everybody what is happening. He explained very, very carefully that this has to end. These ETs want these bad MyLab people, secret government, out. That's what Sparks was telling people, because of what they're doing. They want an amnesty so that everybody can forgive these people, so we can get that technology out. That's all Sparks is saying. Get the technology out so we can fix the planet. There's no benefit for the MyLab people. For Sparks going around saying, get the technology out. They want to keep the technology. Okay. So this cannot be. Sparks' message is against MyLab. It is not MyLab message you're listening to with Sparks. Because why would MyLab people want to make a guy like Sparks go out and tell everybody, you know, release the technology?
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. That's where people are being really, I don't know, you know, you... As I say, there are no people in Hong Kong qualified in this field enough to talk about it. So, you know, anybody wants to talk about it, you know why. And it's just somebody wants to stand up and talk, because you have to have in-depth study, scientific study, like we have in our institute, into this field. Sparks has got an important message. Listen, everybody. The message is, get the technology out, get rid of the secret government. In order to let this process happen, we have to forgive them, get laws passed in Congress so that we can get the technology out to clean the planet. Stop listening to nonsense. You know, use your brain. The ETs are relying on you to use your brain. And you have to do that. Never mind the distractions. Go and buy the forest. Go and do this. Go and do that. These are all what we call plausible deniabilities. Those are ridiculous things to make you have the ability. If it's too much for you, you can just say, oh, bye-bye, and walk away. Evolution leaves you behind. That always happens. Dinosaurs died. That's the way you go. You have to listen.
They're basically giving you a choice to believe, or you think this is bullshit.
Look, it's like Billy Myers. You know that film where you have the tree and you have the saucer going round and round the tree?
Yeah.
It looks like it's on a piece of string.
Yes.
The Pleiadians are basically saying, I've told you everything. If it's too much for you, look at this film. Maybe
you can select not to believe.
Select not to believe. Evolution is evolution. You know, if you can't keep up with the future, you die. You disappear, and the train goes without you.
The choice is yours.
Choice is yours. So, you know, for God's sake, we are doing these educational lessons for you so that you learn. You learn from professionals, peer, Mac. Our institute, it's professionals. We're telling you the way it is. We're giving you now on this program and on Niara's next one, we're giving you the basic mechanisms so that you don't have to listen to what other people tell you. You make the decision yourself based on pure education, not what other people are teaching. For God's sake, listen. It's very important. Because the world is screwed up because other people are always telling other people. People are debunking people. We are not telling you believe. We are telling you listen. Work it out yourself. You have a brain. It was given to you. Use it. That's all we're saying.
Mm.
So let's go to the next step. I've told you what you see in my lab.
Mm.
Now, on the opposite side of the fence, in basic terms, is that in UFO abductions, people are normally removed by floating through the wall, floating through a ceiling, being teleported, lifted. Okay? Now, you know, I've told you some experiences I've had that I've not really written about or spoke about. But this is this kind of experience I've had where you go through a wall. This is a different way of being abducted by a military. You don't, with the military, go through a wall. Okay? And beings appear in your room. You get like a mist. And you get these beings that come from almost invisible, and suddenly they become more visible, 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 until they look completely solid.
Yeah, like feeling in, yes.
And then in the my lab, sometimes, some cases, the people are paralyzed. But it's paralyzed through some kind of primitive human technology. Whereas extraterrestrials are paralyzing you through the mind. I mean, I can remember many occasions opening my eyes and already being paralyzed. And you've got these eyes in your face. And if your eyes aren't able to be open, you hear sounds, everything around you, you can't move. This is abduction. This is extraterrestrial abduction.
So it's very easy, very clear to divine the abduction way by aliens and by the MyLabs.
It's no 100% dividing line. I mean, I could give you the dividing line, but it will take too long to explain it to you. I mean, I've had years and years and years of experience in studying this. Plus, I've had 45 years myself of galactic diplomacy with extraterrestrials. That's a long time of experience. I can't tell you that in one program, but I'm certainly qualified enough to tell you about the case of Sparks from beginning to end and inside out. I've done a substantial report paper on this. So we should continue now, because, you know, and also explain to you that, you know, the surroundings on the craft.
But before we continue, let's having a little break for a cup of water, and we will come back right away.